Ephesians
chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Hold there. You will remember, and I apologize, I'm somewhat feeling under the weather tonight. You will remember from the previous chapter, Paul had been speaking of how he wanted us to know certain things about God. Certain things about, have a certain knowledge, a certain understanding enlightened. In fact, the word in verse 18 of chapter 1, where it says, having your understanding enlightened. I meant to bring this up last time, but I didn't. It was dianoia, which is not usually the word. It's usually gnosis for knowledge, and often for understanding. But it means deep thought. He wants to give you an intimate knowledge of how certain things operate. What is the hope of his calling? The riches of the glory of his inheritance. And I like this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Right? And how he did all this in Christ. And set him, Christ, at his own right hand in the heavens, in the heavenly places. And that's something that was mentioned in the beginning of the book, in the third verse. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And here again, in verse 6, it comes up again in chapter 2. I just want to remind you the context that we're in. God has subjugated everything to Christ. Everything in the world. Everything in creation. He is the head over the church, which is his body. And you. Now you notice in the King James, the word hath he quickened is in italics. And the translators used italics to indicate places where they supplied words where there weren't words. You think, well, that's a pretty big supply there. And you hath he quickened. Is a figure of speech where you sort of imply the verb. And usually you imply the verb first, like, I would say, I went to the store and to the, I went to the grocery store and to the record store and to the, you notice I don't keep adding, and I went to the, and I went to the, and, and what it is, that's a figure of speech used in the Bible in many cases. And sometimes you'll see those words added in to make it a little more understandable. Really all he said was, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein he goes through all these things, and then finally he talks about us being quickened in him in verse 5, where he says, have he quickened us? Quickened is it means to make alive. He's made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. He taught, the wages of sin is death. And sin works death. It puts us in a position where we are facing death. In fact, from the very first, sin was characterized by death. God said to Adam, when you eat that fruit, you're going to die. I'm telling you. And that was the immediate consequence. And the consequence of all sin is death. And the only way for anyone to live forever is to get beyond that consequence. Now, Christ, being without sin, offered himself as a ransom for many. And by that, he took away our sins. He forgives our past sins and imputes righteousness to us. And he plants his seed in us, so to speak. Because I use that analogy because it is written of in several places. 1 John 3, he says, whoever is born of God, is born, people talk about being born again. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, because the seed of God remains in him, and he cannot sin. Because this, what the seed of God in you does is it forms Christ in you. It shapes him in you in the process of time. We through the Spirit, as Paul had said in Galatians, we hope for the righteousness. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. But that is something that occurs in this present world. Or it's supposed to occur. Now, to many people, it doesn't occur. And because of that, people want to exclude others. And say, well, it never happened to me. It can't happen to you. Because they get jealous when the grace of God is not upon them. Or they haven't believed, or they can't believe because they don't have faith. Because not all men have faith. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. The course of this world being, the word course is actually aeon, where we get like our term eon. That's the age of this world, this world age, the way things are today. The world, the Greek word for world was cosmos. Like we have cosmology and the Russians had cosmonauts. Think of the cosmos as being space and all that, but it really means it's from where we get our word cosmetic or cosmopolitan as well. And it means the world as ordered. It means like this world order, so to speak, is implied, not just the globe. Like when we think of world, I think of the world book and the, a lot of times there's a disconnect in translating ancient languages to new languages, and they don't always have the same implication. The age of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air.